Welcome to the Sales Chaos Theory Podcast, the go-to audio experience for navigating the ever-evolving landscape of sales conversations. Hosted by the dynamic duo Tim Ojai and Brian Lambert, this is your invitation to dive deep into the world of value communication like never before. In a market flooded with unpredictability and constant change, Sales Chaos Theory is your guiding light, offering insights, strategies, and the much-needed clarity to help you find the patterns and thrive amidst the mayhem. This is Sales Chaos Theory, where we make sense of the complexity in the market and help you lean into it to rise above the fray and land more deals. Let's dive in.
Hey, good morning. Nick, appreciate your time. I just wanted to reach out. I do a lot of interviews with folks that are selling, and I also do a lot of interviews with those that are buying. And I know that you happen to be on the buy side and interact with salespeople, so I wanted to reach out and get your perspective. But before we do that, why don't you just tell us briefly a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I work for a hospital system, and we are currently looking at multiple vendors to buy some technology that will help us improve patient care. And going through that process now and realizing that every company approaches it just a little bit differently in terms of, making sure that they scope what we're looking for properly and then deliver the product back to us.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you're in the IT function then? Are you part of a buying committee?
I'm in the IT function, part of the committee, yes. Ultimately, we'll make a recommendation to my management as to what they should buy for us.
Right, okay. So what type of roles, what type of other folks are on the committee?
We have, of course, we have technical folks like myself. We also have directors, managers as well, who all have a stake in, and we're all stakeholders in making sure that the technology that we buy is able to be supported and all of that stuff after the sale and has a uptime of at least five nines, et cetera.
Okay, gotcha. So this purchase now or series of solutions that you guys are looking at, how long have you guys been in this buy cycle for what you're looking for?
Sure. I'm fairly new to the team. I know we've been at least, I would say, a month or two, if not longer.
Okay. And this is mostly like software that you guys are looking at or hardware?
Software and hardware combination.
Okay. So, how many, if you had to put a number to it, it doesn't have to be precise, but how many salespeople have you talked to or has the committee talked to?
Usually there is one or two per company, so I'd say probably anywhere from 6 to 12 people.
Okay. And I assume that they've done some maybe interviews with you and other people, and then they go off and then they come back and present a proposal. Is that the basics of it?
Yes, that's the basics of it. And here more recently, a vendor that we just took a look at, they are really in the weeds on the project management side, making sure that they deliver what we're asking for. And so they're asking a series of questions and kind of they're moving the curtain back on the process that they're going through so that we can help them fill out their paperwork, which is becoming really cumbersome, if you will.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about that. Is that a good thing or not to you?
Well, a certain amount of it is definitely good. And I don't want to negate what they're doing because they're certainly in their defense. They're just trying to make sure that they provide the solution and solve the problem that we're asking them to solve. But the problem is all of the processes that they are going through to make sure that they come to that conclusion is cumbersome to us because, for example, they're giving us access to their Excel sheets and their sites that they collaborate internally on so that we can help them fill out paperwork. which ultimately I think should be filled out by them via asking us questions and making it easier for us.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, the idea of make it easy for your customer, that's a novel concept there. So that's one bucket, so those sales processes that create work for you, so to speak, and you understand it, but it's a little bit cumbersome. What are some other things? On the other side, I guess there would be those that make it easy. What does that look like?
Well, basically what they're doing is they're answering their questions or filling out their paperwork, their internal paperwork, their internal processes, if you will, through asking us questions and just interacting, which is great. You know, if we're discussing this over lunch or if we're in a conference room and they're asking us these probing questions, these fact-finding questions to get the information, then that's just a conversation. But when they have to give us access to their internal SharePoint documents to go in there and say, okay, fill out questions 1 through 8. Well, you know, I've kind of dedicated the time already to you and telling you what I need. Now you want me to go in and fill out paperwork. It sort of feels like you're standing at the DMV.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And if I put myself in your shoes, it's kind of like if it's a complex challenge and a complex problem, how much can you really write in the fields anyway? I mean, you know, I don't know what percentage that would be, but if you had to do that, you know, give it a percentage. So 100%, you're going to get through conversations in the conference room and maybe whiteboarding. When you go to a forum and try to fill something out, how much do you think you're going to be able to actually relay if you had to give it a percent?
Yeah, and this started off as a Skype or a WebEx, of course, you know, presenting the problem, telling them what we needed, you know, giving them a feel for exactly what it would take to take care of the issue. And then they come back with a part two of, okay, well, I'm going to give you access to this, and it's going to require you to have a license. And if you don't have that license, we can just use ours, and we pay money for it, so we'll get you in, or you can tell me the answers, and I'll write them in. And it's just, yeah, if I'm going to do that, then I'll be the project manager, and I'll just look for, you know, the sales folks to help me out, and I'll fill out all the paperwork.
Right. That makes sense. So on the make it easy side, or like what's the best sales team doing? You know, they don't have to necessarily be in the lead, but when you say, okay, if I had it my way and I could wave my magic wand or through an example, what's the better team doing?
The better team, sure. The better team is actually taking the time to build the relationship, so that through that relationship building, they're also seeing the problem. They're getting our opinion on it, you know, and so we're getting on the first name basis with these folks. And it's almost like they're an extension of the IT team. They're an extension of the folks sitting in the cubes that are having the issue, and trying to help us solve it.
Right. That makes sense. And one of the things that I'm hearing from other folks, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm kind of curious, are they bringing perhaps a point of view, or are they sharing what they think that you can react off of? Or
They are, which is great. I mean, that's no problem at all, because it's definitely, you know, through that collaboration is where we maybe think of something that we didn't, or they show us a solution that they have we didn't know that they have to help solve the issue. So all of that's great through the relationship building pieces, where they'll get those answers, not, you know, fill this out and we'll let you know. So, you know, in a simplistic example, you go to a restaurant and you order a particular thing off of the menu. The waitress or waiter doesn't come out and show you how the chef made it. They just give you whatever you ordered.
Right.
Yeah.
So from a product or solution set, how are you seeing this pan out? Do you have some people who can, you know, do the head of a pin solution, and those that can offer really broad solutions?
Well, what we'll end up doing is we'll just play along. We will, you know, we'll fill out the necessary paperwork, because at the end of the day, we want to get the solution in place and go live with it. So at the end of the day, we'll just go ahead and follow suit and do what they're requesting. But, you know, if we had our preference, it would be through that relationship and team building type of exercises that we do, you know, in the conference room or at lunch or, you know,
right.
conversations, coming on site, taking a look at the issue, taking a look at the current technology and ways that they can replace it.
Right. And are they able to perhaps solve the whole problem, or are they more like laser beam focused on like a small aspect of the challenge? When you think about the six teams or so that are coming in, is it varying?
Sure. It's varying. Because the field of IT that I'm in is currently growing. No company has the complete end-to-end solution. Companies are trying. And so we're hoping to be able to come alongside them with their current offering and then work together to help build a better product in the future.
Yeah.
A more end-to-end solution.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that a lot, more end-to-end, more turnkey, et cetera. Have you looked at, or has anybody given you like marketing or product brochures or collateral to look at?
That typically comes in the form of a PDF in an email with a spec sheet, and you know, we can. That's kind of the step one, if you will, where they give us that, and we take a look at that and make a best guess on, okay, well, this looks like it might fit for us. We'll go ahead and bring them in and let them either do a dog and pony or, you know, talk about it in a meeting.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about that collateral? Is it helpful? Is it useless?
I do think it's helpful. No, okay. I think it's helpful. I think it's helpful. But the biggest win for me, if I were, you know, and I'm only part of the decision-making process, I'm not the decision-maker, but if I were the decision-maker, I would say that the vendor that wins or the firm that wins is going to be that firm that develops a relationship and communicates. That's the biggest thing, I think, of the entire process is the communication, the, you know, you're my smart friend, you're the one that knows how to solve this issue and I don't, and you're going to work with me and we're going to get it solved that way. It's all about, I think, the communication and the relationships and the team building piece of it, because if I already know you and I have a relationship with you, then even if you have the paperwork, I'm still more apt to want to fill that out, because now we're quote unquote friends. We're closer than just the salesman coming in the door or the saleswoman coming in the door. You know, now we're like, you know, this is Frank. Frank wants me to fill out some paperwork so he can continue to help me get the solution. Okay, well, now that salesperson has a name. He is a smart friend. He's a person that I can contact, you know, when I'm working during the day to take care of my issue.
Yeah, that's cool. And on that view of the communication and contact, like if you have a smart friend and you have that type of relationship, how often would you talk to them? Would it be once a week, once a month, once a day?
Well, if we were in the middle of trying to solve a problem, it would be probably weekly, I would think. And then once the problem is solved, the technology comes in, it's in place, we go live with it. You know, then it's a check back, you know, maybe a monthly check back. Hey, how's it going? Is it still working like you want? You know, and also be available to take care of those support failures, because what we find is we hire a particular vendor, we get the technology in, it's great, but then something's lacking with the support. So now I'll need to come back to that contact, that smart friend, that company representative, and say, hey, you know, I called in a ticket to the support person and it's not really getting the traction it deserves. I really need this to be a higher priority. And then that person is empowered by the company to go in and contact those support folks. You know, maybe he has nothing absolutely to do with support whatsoever, but he knows the managers and the directors and the people over those folks to be able to make a phone call and say, hey, this is my customer. Can you please put this on a higher priority for them? They're having an issue, and that type of thing. You know, so support after the sale is big too.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Cool. Well, I could talk to you all day, but my last question, though,
sure.
What do you think salespeople should be doing better to sell?
I think the biggest thing, and I don't mean to keep harping on it, but I think the biggest thing is the communication and the relationship building. that will knock down all kinds of walls or barriers to entry, if you will, just by having that relationship. That doesn't come easy. And I've been on the sales side some too, so I understand. But if you can find a way to make that relationship work, then you're knocking down more of those barriers to entry that may exist, and then not exist suddenly. They just magically, for lack of a better word, disappear, because now you're more of a friend to that type of person.
Right. Cool. Well, hey, Nick, I appreciate your time. I know our listeners are going to find this valuable, and getting another side of the table view has been awesome. So appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for having me.